Tasty, flavorful coffee comes from thriving farms. However, long-held industry standards leave most farmers scraping by, severely limiting their ability to grow quality coffee. But together, we can change that. Our direct-from-farm sourcing eliminates the many layers usually found between the farmer and you. This results in prosperous farms with the capacity to grow exceptional coffee. And great coffee is what makes all our days brighter. We invite you to be a part of a coffee movement where everyone is lifted. Joe Bean, coffee that lifts everyone.
Live from Rochester, this is Plants of Beats.
Narada Michael Walden, I was named after. My mom didn't want to know the sex of, you know, the baby. So they assumed I was a girl. Got me tons of girl stuff, I believe. And then I came out looking like me. So they had to adjust. My aunt was there, and the Jet magazine there. And then she saw the Jet magazine because they were scrambling for a name. And one of her favorite musicians had an article and was on the Jet magazine. And they named me after the writer Michael Walden. So
I love that story.
Yeah.
First, I love it because Jet magazine was like a staple in my grandmother's house growing up. Like that little
tiny.
The zine before the zine was Jet magazine.
Yeah.
For sure. I love that. And second, because I wasn't familiar with that artist until you told me. And then I swear to God, bro, 2 weeks later, I'm at Record Archive going through vinyl. And the Narada Michael Walden album popped up.
And I wasn't
familiar
text.
I wasn't familiar. I just grabbed it because I'm like, oh, I just heard this story.
Yeah.
And ended up sampling it to make a beat like that night. And I sent you that video. And I was like, oh, this shit's kind of dope.
He got some jams.
He do.
Yeah, he got some jams for
he
real.
Definitely got some jams.
People definitely know. And Narada is a Hindu god. Some people know it for that,
really?
Too. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. We might have to circle back to that because that's interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think, you know, what's dope, bro, I say this all the time, it's hard to make friends the older you get in life, right? Especially, like, I feel like men do it less than anybody, right? Because we just be in our bubbles. But you have really been somebody who I consider a brother who I've only known, what, 2-3 years?
Yeah, about 3 years, yeah.
We met behind the glass.
Behind the glass, yeah. But I was following you since 2020 with the, yeah, you know,
with the
photos.
Photography.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I definitely knew you.
Yeah, but it was just instant. I'm like, oh yeah, me and bro gonna be hanging out.
Instantly, like Step Brothers movie. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it was quick.
Yeah, that was dope, bro. But talk a little bit about what you do, man. Like, yeah, how'd you get into photography? What do you do now? Like, what you know, introduce people to your work.
So what got me into photography, we'll start there, is I used to do just modeling. And I used to always be on set. And I don't know if anyone else that does this kind of media stuff and modeling or anything. I don't know if it's ancestors or something, but I did not always love, hey, you know, you're on the shelf over there. And then they're like, hey, man, we need you to get into character real quick and get on set. And it's like, you know, no one could be paying attention to you for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
It kind of feels like monkey on the shelf kind of thing. I didn't always love that.
Okay.
But I did like the control that I saw that the photographer had.
Mm.
And I was like, man, I like that. And I also had my own eye at that point and was starting to develop it because, you know, I wanted to be a really great model at that point.
Yeah.
Even went to California for it. And, so when I got to that point, I started, you know, analyzing a lot of photos and stuff. So I started being able to create a look that I kind of liked to see.
Yeah.
So at that point, I didn't want to pay for a good photographer. You know, I get it. You got to pay to play.
Yeah.
You know, you want to get to somewhere elite, you got to play the game. So what I had to really do there was I had to teach myself. I started learning self-photography. Learning how to capture myself, studio lighting, things like that at first. And then COVID happened. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then, you know, Daniel Prude and things like that happened. So then all of a sudden I'm going out just capturing. Because yeah. The world is like, you know, there was nothing else going on. Yeah. So at night, you know, I felt like put on my Batman cloak and I was like, let me go out here and capture what's really going on. Yeah. Met tons of friends, tons of people. It's probably why I got into all this stuff, honestly, and how at certain points intensely I'm around, because I'm not always around. I like to step away sometimes, you know. So, you know, that was really going on. So people were like, man, you're really good at photography. And then I had a show. What was it called? Capture the Movement. And it was in New York City, and they invited me to come to New York City and show some of my protest imagery from Rochester, wow. Which was crazy. And they printed it on like life-sized things, prints. And it was like about 30 other artists, all different nationalities. And it was a great show. Me and my girl Michaela came, and her friend that lived in the city came, and a couple of my other friends came and met me. And that was just like, I was like, wow, I guess I... I guess I can't really do this. Kind of give you a little bit more confidence, which is, you don't need to be giving me that sometimes. So, you know, that was cool. Then I came back and started doing business to business with people. And a lot of people started requesting my services for like portraits, social media, little reels and things like that.
Yeah.
And so I just kept going that way. Did that for a long time. Then decided to work for Zillow, doing some real estate photography.
Well, you skipped. There's a couple things I want to come back to what you said, but you skipped a very important part.
What did I skip?
Between
I did skip
that
a ton.
And Zillow. You completely skipped that you were basically a Buffalo Bill photographer for about 2-3 years. Like, you just totally glossed over that part.
Yeah, I did. I don't know why I just don't mention that a lot more often. I don't know why it is.
Is it because you don't want to, like, is it like a humble thing? Like, you don't want to brag about it, or you don't want to be just known for that, like, kind of?
No, I love being known for that. Right? I mean, you go to my Instagram page, that's all you see.
Yeah.
I don't post other stuff anymore, really.
Yeah.
And there's reasons. But I don't know. Maybe just to safeguard, not feel like I'm riding somebody's coattails, being like, you know, my man's in the league, you know.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm just as cool as they are.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I don't need to
for sure
drop that. And I feel like it's just a cool thing if people know me for that. Like, some people know me for that. I don't even know who they are. And they're like, oh, Enrad. I'm
like, he shoots for the Bills.
Yeah, it's pretty.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, so I did that. I started off with Jordan Poyer. He was just one of my homies. Met him actually out in Buffalo, just having a good time. And went to camp a couple times before that just as a spectator with him.
Yeah.
He was able to have, you know, guest passes and have all the little cool little amenities and things like that. And then after that, I met a couple other players because, you know, obviously I'm always moving and grooving, trying to talk to people. Meeting different people, players, and it's like, if you're in that special place with that door open, you gotta open up your availability and try to be a asset to more than just one person, right? Mm-hmm. That's how I think you get longevity and be able to stick around things and get, you know, special privileges and things like that. So started doing some things for Cam Lewis, who's the player.
He was a safety for the Bills.
Yeah.
Now he's with the Chicago Bears.
Chicago Bears. Just celebrated his birthday in Houston, was down there. Shout out to him. Happy birthday. And so met Cam. Really great people. Young, was, you know, just had his first kid. His wife was currently pregnant. So started doing family photos for them. Right there, that first year. Didn't really have a strong relationship with him then because I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, like, when you meet a player and things like that or a celebrity-type person, you know, what is too much, right?
Yeah.
So you got to always have that balance.
Yeah.
And it's, man, it's just relationship building, which is, I think, I try to stay a good relationship builder, which is why I think we're good friends.
But that line between, like, I want to build a genuine relationship with this person and not have them feel like I'm using them for opportunity.
Exactly.
Even though this is a great opportunity and I want to take advantage of it.
Absolutely.
But still, like,
my
I
human
feel like
this
side my boy. Yeah.
You know.
That's tough.
And that's my dog now. Like, he's not, I don't, like, so when people say a player, I don't see him as a player.
Yeah.
Like, that's just my boy, Ken.
Right.
Now, obviously, I know that. And it's always, I still have to be mindful of things, you know, mm-hmm. as I think most people that are in this position should be, which is the only reason they're there, right? They don't allow you to be around people of that high value.
If you're not cool.
Yeah, they check. Yeah. They check. So, you know, started doing that, did the photos with them, and then it just naturally started growing. You know, I became Uncle Enrad like I am to your kids, and at the games, I'm with the kids, and everybody at the stadium knows who I am, the security, I get special, you know, because I'm with his kids, and making sure, you know, you could just tell it's a tight-knit thing.
Yeah.
Even other players, you know, knew and sensed that, and I was able to get relationships with other ones, but You know, I didn't never look at it as transactional. That's what it really was.
Yeah.
And it's trust too.
Yeah.
That's, right. That's, it's real trust. And that's that you can't buy that. You have to earn that.
Earn that. Absolutely, Chris. You were absolutely right about that. And trust can be like a very fleeting thing too, you know, because it's like also personal perspective with trust, right? Say he had a hard game or say you had a hard day and we just had a weird vibe that day and I don't see you until the next time. How am I supposed to always know we're on the same level as we were as last time? Because like I said, they're special place people. They sometimes get a different perspective sometimes, and they got to safeguard themselves, as we all should.
And that's why it's hard making friends when you get older.
Absolutely.
Because you have a lot more of those boundaries set in place. Like when you're younger, it's just, you don't know. So everybody's your friend.
Exactly. Right, because you're building, right?
Yeah, you're building your own character and your own idea of what that means. But the older you get, it's just like you're more closed off. So it is special when you can find some, you know, a connection when you get older, because you know that it's real, because you know yourself. Like, well, I don't really mess with everybody like that. So if I'm cool with you, then
right, exactly.
And this is I really do trust you. Tree, which special to me for a few reasons. First, like, one of my favorite songs ever is Money Trees by Kendrick Lamar, for sure. But when I started my houseplant journey back in 2019 2020, this was one of the first ones that I got. Well, it's actually a funny story behind there. I had a really good friend who suggested that I get a money tree, and I ordered one from Lowe's because that was during the pandemic, so like nobody was going out. Mm-hmm. So I ordered one online, which is stupid, by the way. Like, never order a plant online because you can't see it. You can't feel it, right? And they sent me a Boston fern instead.
You don't know what that is. You think you got the right plant.
I'm That's like, a counterfeit money tree, Rob.
I called it Bernie, the Boston fern. It was dope, though. I had Bernie for a while. But eventually, I did get the money tree. And, you know, the myth about the money tree is that if you keep it alive and keep it thriving and financially, you will see the benefits of it. But it's subtly a hard plant to take care of. I think the mistake that people always make with a money tree is they overwater it. I mean, that's the mistake that people make with a lot of plants, is thinking it needs constant water. But how I kept mine alive was I would put one ice cube in it like 3-4 days apart and let it melt slowly into the soil.
Yeah, like a cactus. Yeah.
But so some things about the money tree, it's got the braided trunk, which is like a signature of it. People think it brings like good luck, prosperity, especially with money, feng shui. Best locations, thrives in bright and direct light. 6 hours daily, right, is ideal. Only water when the top 2 to 4 inches of the soil are dry, and it prefers stable environments. So don't be moving it around all the time trying to get the best light, right? It likes stability. And it's cool because you can grow new plants from the cuttings if you put them in water, right? So it's a very fascinating plant. But the reason why I picked it for today is that whole myth about if you keep it alive and thriving, then you will thrive financially. I think that taps into something in our human psyche about how superstitious we can get about things, but really how focused we are on money. And I wanted to talk a little bit about hustle culture with you, Narada, because me and you have had conversations about the freelance life. Like, when I first graduated college, I graduated with a degree in screenwriting, and I moved from LA. Yeah, that was smart. But that's another story.
You were there.
That's another story for another day. But like, what the hell was I supposed to do in Philadelphia with a degree in screenwriting, right? So I had to hustle. I freelanced for like 5-6 years when I first had my degree. And I mean, I did everything from, I mean, I drove Uber and Lyft. You know, I did like freelance photography gigs. I wrote blogs for like $100 a pop. I shot like those music videos that you see online with like 30 people in front of a corner store.
Oh, the hood,
the hood ones.
Oh,
yes, yeah. For like $200-$300 a pop. I did that.
Never that. I did that.
I shot professional athletes too for a little bit at this performance gym. Cam Reddish, when he was sick. Right before he went to Duke, you know, I shot a lot of his stuff. Jahi Ward, who was in the NFL. The Morris twins, who are from Philly,
wow,
was training with this guy. So I did a lot of that stuff too. But the freelance life really weighed on me. And it had its pros and cons, because you get to make your own schedule. You get to be your own boss. You get to call your own shots. But at the same time, it is incredibly difficult to build a life when you are doing that, not knowing when or where your money is coming from week to week, from day to day. It's extremely hard to pay bills, to get on any kind of a quote-unquote adult schedule when you are doing that. And that has its effects on everything. That affects romantic relationships, especially if your partner does not live like that.
Yeah.
Because they do not understand what that's like. So that can cause friction and arguments. It can cause friction with just platonic friendships when it's just like, you know, I can't go out, or I can't do this, or bro, let's go on a vacation. And it's just like, yeah, I got money now, but like if I take that vacation and I come back, I don't know what it's gonna look like if I just take 5 days off,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
It puts you in this weird kind of bubble. And I just wanted to talk about that a little bit with you, because I know you kind of still, I mean, I know you got the Zillow thing going now, which is, you know, been somewhat more normal schedule. But
yeah, we'll talk about that later.
But for the most part, you still in that freelance kind of life. Like, is that, like, what is your initial thoughts on what that does to your lifestyle? Like,
well, okay, somebody, this is straight facts here. It's like, it's not a 9-to-5, it's a 24/7.
Yeah.
And that, does that not sound more exhausting to you?
It's absolutely exhausting.
You know, it's cool points. You get cool, you know, cool things happen. But, you know, me personally, the only cool part about it and the most exciting part is when I get the gig and that's it. Like, you know what I mean? Because,
you know, you got some money coming.
I got some money coming, but that's not even the main thing. It's like, okay, somebody wanted me to do work for them. So that's like, I thought,
affirmation.
No, because like I said, I'm very confident already. But it's like, where would I put it? I would say, it's like a booking agent. I'm happy I got the booking. Now what's next? Now I need another one. Because that money is already going to be accounted for. You know what I mean?
Once you know it's coming, it's spent.
Yeah, when you're doing freelance like that, it's already, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like here in Rochester, New York, we're getting big contracts. Like, yeah. I do have points when I have that happen.
Yeah.
But it's more corporate places. It's not business to business. Like, people out here are not trying to spend a lot of money, first of all. Rochester, New York, where half of the year is dark and gloomy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's heart. Like, people want to do stuff when it's sunny, bright. You know, people want to get out the house then.
They're not
seasonally depressed and all those things. So, I would pretty much say, doing freelance is not for the weak-hearted.
No.
You can have the best plan ever, but it's probably not going to be the plan that works. You always got to have a plan B. Yeah. You can't have all your marbles in one basket, because if that basket breaks, that's when it's the worst, when you're doing freelance, because then you have other people depending on you. Mm-hmm. Bills coming. They don't want to hear your story.
Yeah.
They may listen to it on the recorded line, but they don't want to really hear your story. It's not going to change anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, and if you have a partner, you got to have probably not a partner doing the same thing, because y'all going to have really down points.
Yeah, right? unless y'all like codependent through drama.
Right. Or like, you know, there's couples in bigger markets that are both busting at the seams at contract money and tons of different things because that is where they are. Here, it's not, you know what I mean? It's
non-existent.
Yeah.
You really want to be real about it. It's really non-existent. Honestly, I don't even... Shout out to St. John Fisher for having training camp because that's how this all happened. Because if we didn't have that, where would I would have it ever?
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny. I didn't even meet him there. I mean, I met Jordan Poirier in Buffalo. Yeah. But it was just the fact that they were near, you know?
Yeah.
So it's freelance is not easy. And, you know, banks don't want to give you mortgages and stuff because you need the consistent line, and you know, you got to pay all this extra money if you want health care. The older you get, right?
Yeah.
The worst part about freelance is the stress.
That's what I was gonna bring up.
It's the stress. The
stress.
And like you said, the relationships, you can't, somebody's like, yeah man, you want to pop out real quick and do this? You like, man. I probably shouldn't. And then you feel like you got to work, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like at home and you're like, man, I got to get right, you know?
I think what you said in the beginning is true. Like you said, it's not 9 to 5, it's 24 hours, because I think what we all strive for is work-life balance. And it's impossible to have that when you freelance sometimes, because you almost feel, and this is like when I say hustle culture, what I mean, you almost feel bad relaxing.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I need to be doing something, right? And I know even for me now, like I've had, you know, 9 to 5 type jobs for the last, 6 years? And I still feel like that when I'm off. Like I need to be doing something else because the cost of living is ridiculous. Like you said, if you want any type of certain quality in life, and I got kids, right? So I'm thinking about, you know, I was with you last night and I'm spending $30 on chips and pants because
little mama needed it.
She needed for lunch this week. So it's stuff like that. But then it's like the long term thinking of like, at some point I need to start saving for college, right? So it's just like the fear of like this 9 to 5 is not enough. I need to be doing something else. And then like last night, you know, when we were hanging out and I was in the car thinking, well, what am I gonna do when I get home? Like, I need to hop on a laptop and, like, do something. And then I thought to myself, what if you just go watch a movie and sit on the couch? Would that be a bad idea to take 2 hours to not be doing something that you think is going to further yourself financially? But then you feel shitty thinking, like, well, like, is that going to set me back? Or is that going to not give me that edge? It's just a distress, bro. It's just...
don't know, man. I can just earth a lot of stuff, I feel like.
You said you earth?
I can just earth it. Like, I can just eat it. Like, I don't know.
Really?
I could, you know, because it's just part of the story. Part of you know what I mean? I don't try to let it affect my being that hard. Do you know what I mean? Like, that was tough. It was supposed to be tough, right? But I feel like, because I used to, like, decide to go and do photos and do all that. But then at the end of the day, that's extra work.
Yeah, it's just more work.
It's just more work. Yeah. You know, it used to be like that. But then, like, obviously, I'm not a master of my craft by any means. But I'm a master of it enough where I felt like I didn't have to keep always chiseling, right, at every free second I had to try to get better. And I guess now I love watching basketball. Basketball honestly relaxes me. I love it. Like,
all three of us basketball fans here, right?
Oh, yeah. But I think that's the other thing when you mentioned that, like, when you're eating the stress, not just physically, because, like, that's, I'll do that, but it's eating the stress. It works for a while.
Yeah.
And it can work for a long time, but it never really works.
No.
It never really works. Like, that's the lie we tell ourselves, that we can eat it and it doesn't affect us. Even though we might be able to show it, and, you know, you're not feeling it in the moment, but that building of that, that's what eating does, is it builds, and you might not feel it until it's too late. And not saying you're going to act out even, but something's going to break in you. And that's the thing that I think we all want to avoid.
Right.
And I've been there. Like, We were out at an event, and I mentioned I was cracking.
Yeah.
And I was trying to say something. Not that I needed somebody to come here and do something, but I was mentioning it because I needed to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard to say that it's affecting you, because most of the time you can eat it and go.
Yeah.
Until you can't.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then it's like, ooh, I got to say something.
It's going
to
come out.
I got to talk to somebody.
Oh, yeah. It's going to come out some weird way or something. Yeah. So, you know, I really suggest people take self-care. So you got to, like, take that walk or call that person or go on that vacation that you wanted to. Because, like you said, because those are the things, like, right? I could go to Jamaica, or I'll be in Costa Rica and be like, man, this was all very hard, but I am here. Mm-hmm. I'm healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to replace some of that hard time stuff, I feel like, with a little gratitude, because it could be worse, right? And I don't want it to be worse ever, right? But you can't just keep eating it. But you got to do things, obviously, to help you release it. Like, my new thing is I love going to the gym. Going hard at the gym helps me release. I recommend people do something, get your body moving, because that stuff gets stored up in you.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when, like, sickness and stuff gets added on to things. You know, we all know about different things like that. And you just don't want to make it an easy, like, a gateway for other things to happen. So you do have to manage that. Stress management is very serious. And sometimes you have to walk away and not do the thing.
Yeah.
Because that thing doesn't need you to do it all the time.
No.
You know, like, you need a rest week, like, at the gym, like, you know, when you come back stronger, you know, who are you in true competition with, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, some people make it seem like they have these critics and stuff, but no one's watching you.
Well, it is. That's
relax.
It is.
We're all here to support you.
It is culture. I think that whether you want to, like, look at it in a broader sense, like, of, like, just capitalism and what capitalism does to people. Or what we talked about, social media, right? That's one of the things I hate about social media, is, like, this idea that everybody has to be a boss and an entrepreneur and, like, get the 800 credit score. Like, I mean, it's important to have money and be financially stable for sure. But, like you said, like, I think even with the money tree, like, and saying that, oh, well, you need to get a money tree and take care of it so you can, like, why?
The money tree is stressing you out because you can't take care of it.
You know, that's just saying? Another, like, thing to worry about. So now I got to take care of a plant to make sure that my money is going to be good, right? And it's this idea that, like, like I always say, like it's the reason why they put God on the dollar on the actual money. It says in God we trust, right?
Yeah.
Money is God in America. And we have gotten out of control with some of it. Is like we have to worry about it to survive, and you know, affordability is an issue. But I think we put this over, you know, we are over reliant on the pursuit of it in a toxic way, I think, sometimes.
And this is why I suggest more people should get outside of the U.S. You go to Jamaica, you go to Costa Rica, they don't live like that. It's not, everything's not the latest and greatest. Everything is that, but everything tastes good. You feel good. You're not getting, your pockets not getting broken. Yeah. And I'm not talking about going there and being on a resort, okay? Because it's going to feel like you're in America. What the heck am I going to another country for to feel like I'm around? I don't want to be around y'all. I want to be around somebody else.
A different culture.
A different culture, immerse myself.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel like when I take those trips with me and Michaela, when we go, I'm gone. And I'm showing people. And
I definitely don't hear from you when you're on vacation.
Yeah, I don't. Because I don't do that back and forth. Yeah. I'm gone, right? I'm doing all my photos and stuff, and it's on my time. If I want to go home that night and throw some up, I can. But probably I'm waiting to the end of the trip because, like, you shouldn't be posting while you're on the trip. Be on the trip. Cut it out. This is not Entertainment Tonight. We don't need to know your updates like that. Just enjoy yourself and then do some more polish when you're done. And I feel like when you go to those countries, you see how other people live, how they move, they're slowed down. The things that are important to us over here aren't as important over there. And we're living in the same world.
instead of wanting all the water, sometimes you just need a one ice cube to melt to get your soil right.
Plants and Beats is produced by Rob Bell with music by Alofar. Subscribe to stay updated and follow Rob Bell and Alofar on social media. The information is in the show description. Peace and blessings. See you next week.